Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Gives you a good perspective on the fact that a lot of the day-to-day things that we worry about don't amount to much compared to the sweep of history. I also think I was glad that I didn't have to carry the camera up here.
So, Obama is finally in the homeland, revering the master who he mimics, Chairman Obama, phrase I created, now T-shirts. It's interesting to me that Obama goes to the Great Wall of China, and he doesn't see the irony that the Chinese who built the wall he was standing on did so because they were trying to defend their borders, language, and culture from invaders on their northern border. In other words, the Great Wall was not built for a Kodak moment. The Great Wall was not built by the ancestors of the current generation of Chinese in order to attract tourists. It was built to defend their nationalism, and it's lasted for over 2,500 years. And while we have invaders on our southern border, what will we have to show for ourselves in 2,500 years, given that we have a Homeland Security Department under Janet Napolitano, who was, in essence, mandated by the American people not only to defend us against the Major Hassans, but against the invaders from the south, from the southern border. And now we have a Homeland Security Department and Janet Napolitano acting as a traffic cop, actually directing the flow of invaders northwards and the flow of remittances southwards. And that's why I say today's show's about the Great Wall to the Great Fall. They have the Great Wall and we have the Great Fall. 1-800-449-8255. How come China can take pride in its nationalism, while in the liberal America of today, nationalism is looked on with scorn by Obama and his minions? Why is it that national pride is something that Obama accepts for China, for Saudi Arabia, for Syria, for Iran, but national pride amongst Americans is somehow that something only Neanderthals are would display in this country? China is the new Britain, if you think about it. Britain once built an empire that reached every corner of the world. They dominated Asia. They grew rich from the labor and resources of Africa. Now China is doing the same thing. They're making huge capital investments in Africa and elsewhere. But the Chinese brand of colonialism contains cultural MSG. Cultural MSG, militarism, subjugation, and godlessness. That's what they're exporting to Africa, MSG. Many consider the British Empire to have been a racist institution. Oh, yes, very racist. We hear that day in and day out. But what about the racial imperative of China? What you morons don't know is that the ruling Han Chinese government has long demonstrated racism and a bias, especially, but not particularly, against Chinese who are not of Han Dynasty. You don't even know this. We are such racial fools in this country. China is perhaps one of the most racially sensitive countries on earth. Racially sensitive, that is, to their own superiority. Take it for what it is. The Han Chinese look down on any Chinese who's not descended from the Han people. And here we have Obama there. Now, I don't have to tell you this. It's a very sensitive issue, but anyone who studies race knows this to be a fact. The fact of the matter is there is much prejudice in China against people of African descent. Whether you like to hear it or not is irrelevant. It's a reality. Anyone who knows anything about China knows that to be true. What do you think they're actually saying about this guy? So, again, if you want to talk about from the Great Wall to the Great Fall, we can do that. I know many of you want to talk about the stuff that you've been hearing about on all of the other shows. You know, Eric Holder and Obama putting Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and some of the other killers on trial in New York City and what that is really about. We all know what it's about. We know exactly what it's about. They want to put George Bush, Dick Cheney, and the CIA on trial. What they're doing is pandering to the far-left lawyers from NYU who are on Prozac. That's what they're doing. The far-left lawyers from NYU and Columbia who are on Prozac wanted this to happen so they can make a mockery of justice. They want Khalid Sheikh Mohammed not only to go free, but to sue the American government, and they'd like to see George Bush in prison. So I'm not going to even talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. There's nothing that I want to say about it that you haven't already heard. We know what Obama is doing. We know what Eric Holder is doing. We know that it's simply done for politics. We know that the Obama administration is giving special treatment to the perpetrator of one of the greatest war crimes ever committed against the United States. And moreover, and I have to remind you this because I did shows on this years ago, moreover, there is precedent for having tried these bums in a military tribunal years ago and having executed them years ago. And who do we use as the model? None other than the last radical leftist president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You see, in 1942, the Supreme Court heard the case called Quirin, Q-U-I-R-N. And I did this in great detail 5 years ago, ex parte Quirin. And that question that they asked was, could Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our most socialist president until now, lawfully and constitutionally order that a group of Nazi saboteurs who were captured on U.S. soil be tried not in New York City, but by military commissions? There was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court, the Quirin decision, that pointed to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and noted that Congress in 1806 had passed a law that imposed the death penalty on alien spies. And this 1806 law was upheld by the Quirin Court, by the Supreme Court in the Quirin case. And the Nazi saboteurs were tried, except for two of them who had turned state's evidence, and they were hung. So now you have to ask yourself, since there is a precedent for trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other vermin in a military tribunal, finding them guilty and hanging them, what argument then does Obama have to justify giving an unlawful enemy combatant who perpetrated war crimes against America in a civilian court designed only for civilian crimes? There's no answer to it. I don't care what every cockamamied, cockeyed, pot-smoking, Prozac-taking, left-wing, linoleum-wearing, tablecloth-learning, seltzer-drinking bum in New York law says. There's only one reason they're doing it, and that is to try Dick Cheney, George Bush, and the CIA. They are suicidal, and they're going to drag the entire country over the cliff. That's my opinion. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. See, I said I wouldn't talk about it, but there I go again. From the Great Wall to the Great Fall. From the Great Wall to the Great Fall. Some would argue we need a Great Wall. Some would say we need a Great Wall on our southern border, but Janet Napolitano says anyone who tries to stop the flood of immigrants coming in is a criminal. That the criminals are not the criminals, but the patriots are the criminals. That's called a government through the looking glass. You're living in Alice in Wonderland, my friends. Everything is upside down. This government has everything backwards. The optic chiasma of this government is backwards. The question is, can we survive them? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about from the Great Wall to the Great Fall with Obama at the Great Wall leading us to the Great Fall. And I want to give you a bit of history. The Great Wall was not built for a Kodak moment. It was built for a purpose. It was to protect China from the invaders coming into their country with a different race, different language, and different culture. I know this is very sensitive for you Americans to hear. But, you know, history can't be altered simply to make your ears feel better. The Chinese did not want the primitive nomadic Mongols from the depths of Asia to overrun China. But they did. After the Mongols overran the Qin Empire in northern China between 1211 and 1234, They defeated the Chinese Sung army and ruled over the whole of China. You may not know this, from 1280 to 1367. So there was an invasion by the Mongols. They were successful in defeating the Chinese Sung army, and they ruled China from 1280 to 1367. The Mongols were so great at war that they launched a seaborne expedition against Java and Japan, although neither was successful. In the West, the Mongols' first victim was the Muslim Empire of Khwarizm, and then they turned against the Abbasid Caliphate, and they sacked Baghdad in 1258, long before George Bush did. But things changed over time, and of course you may know that the chief Mongol, who you may know by name, is Genghis Khan, son of a Mongol chief who united the different Mongol tribes under his leadership, the same way that David united the Jewish tribes under his leadership and created the ancient nation of Israel. It's always the same. Or King Kalakaua of Hawaii was a warlord, in essence, who killed the other kings and united the Hawaiian tribes together into a nation called Hawaii. I mean, that's the way it is. You know, usually a chief comes along who kills the other guys, and he runs the whole deal. So to get back to Obama in China, we're talking about the Mongol Empire and the invasion of China. So then as time goes on, the Chinese recover from the barbarian invasions of the 4th and 5th centuries as a result of a single dynasty, the Sui Dynasty, 581 to 617, but it was Tang, the Tang Dynasty, who ushered in one of the great ages of Chinese history. And you have to know some of this to know what we're living through now. You see, under the Tang and their successors, the Sung, China attained a great level of social stability and prosperity and a civilization far ahead of contemporary Europe at the time. I don't think many of you appreciate how far advanced China was, but they were way advanced of China. And it was only after another wave of invasion from Inner Asia, this time the Mongols that I just mentioned, that brought this era of well-being to a temporary halt. I want to pause right here. Again, the Mongols invaded and brought the well-being in China to a temporary halt. And during that period of Mongol domination, much of the land was devastated, particularly in the north, and the population, which probably topped 100 million Chinese in 1280, was reduced to 60 million by 1393. Again, several hundred years later, a new dynasty came along in China, the Ming Dynasty, and reversed these setbacks and put China back on the course charted by its Tang predecessors. Now, I'll end my little historical sketch for the moment right there. The point is that every nation on earth has defended its borders, language, and culture with its life. That's what World War II was about. That's why men bled and died in the Pacific, was for the borders, language, and culture. Our way of life, in other words, built upon freedom, is what they were fighting for. If you watch the History Channel, as I've been watching with amazement and horror, I see boys like my neighbors walking on the beaches, sunning themselves, their shirts off. They could be your son. And there they were, chopped to ribbons. They didn't go there because they were heroes. They went there because they had to go there. And as one old man who survived it all said, inspiration, he said? Inspiration? He said, there was no inspiration. He said, it was basically fear that motivated us and a desire not to be ashamed in front of our friends who we were fighting with. So let's stop with the nonsense of Audie Murphy and people wanting to charge into machine gun bullets to prove something. Nobody wants to do that. But as the great General Patton once said, you don't know what to do? He said, when you see your friend's guts hanging out, you'll know what to do. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Right now, America's entrails are being torn out, not only from enemies outside of us who have torn us to shreds diplomatically. In so many ways, we're being torn to pieces. But now, internally, the body politic is being torn apart by these radical leftists who hate the guts of this nation. They want to tear the guts out of this country. They hate everything America stands for. You listen to Obama's rhetoric going back to the beginning. He is ashamed to be an American. And here is a man supposedly carrying our national dignity to China, when really, in fact, he looks more and more like the little college boy that he really is. He's turned America into a doormat, bowing before dictators around the world and apologizing for the greatness of this nation. That's the concise atlas of world history, according to Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. From the Great Wall to the Great Fall is today's topic. And as I said earlier, and you could write this one down, maybe this will be something that sticks. I see that nobody in the media wanted to cover the fact that Congressman Culberson is battling the ban of Savage in Britain by urging Hillary Clinton to press the UK to remove my name from the list of murderers. I realize Drudge wouldn't cover it. Breitbart wouldn't cover it. Newsmax wouldn't cover it. Fox wouldn't cover it. Oh, yeah, all the great conservatives wouldn't cover it. But at least WorldNet Daily covered it. I have a few people who know what truth is, and they don't need favors in order to cover it. I guess some want things for covering things. I guess it's all the news that's fit to print, so long as one hand washes the other. So we're talking about these things. We're talking about truth, justice, and the American way when it comes down to it. And we're talking about Obama giving a tepid speech on the Great Wall. But again, I want to remind you what the Great Wall was built for. It was built to protect the nation from the nomadic invasion of the Mongols. That's why they built the Great Wall. Now, many of us wanted a Great Wall built with Mexico. Instead, we have a Department of Homeland Security under Obama that's saying, tear down that wall. Let them all come in. Overrun our country. Become a citizen so that you can dilute the value of citizenship. Run over our borders. We'll help you. And anyone who stands in your way will be turned into a criminal. And then, of course, you have the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, a mass murderer. Instead of being tried in a military tribunal shortly after he was caught and being hung for what he did, the liberals have won. They're going to drag him to New York, and they're going to put the CIA, the military, George Bush, and Dick Cheney on trial. In other words, they're going to put America on trial in order to press their Prozacian left-wing mania, and to press their Prozacian left-wing mania as far as they can. And we, the people, are going to suffer as a result of these fools. China takes pride in its nationalism. In Obama's liberal America today, nationalism is frowned upon, except that of Saudi Arabia, China, Iran, and Russia. They're allowed to have nationalism. You're not. You're just a right-wing racist cracker if you believe in America.
Savage.
Obama's in China, kowtowing to China and embarrassing America, turning us into a doormat. And I'm talking about from the Great Wall to the Great Fall. And I'm trying to teach you that the Great Wall was built to prevent a further invasion of China. And here we are opening up America to further invasion. To top it all off, we have murderers, terrorists like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who committed inexplicable horrors on this country. And now we have this radical leftist government under Obama and his attorney general, a handpicked friend of terrorist Eric Holder. And he says he's going to try KSM in a federal civilian court. And you hear the liberals lining up like little parrots. Well, that's who we are. That's what we're about. That's the American way to give them justice. Total bull crap. Total bull crap. Total bull crap. Even FDR, the last socialist president that we had, said that it was lawful and constitutional for a group of Nazi saboteurs captured on U.S. soil to be tried by military commissions. It's nonsense. This is a pure political move on the part of these leftists, Holder and Obama, and the crazy people at NYU and Columbia Law, to put the U.S. government of Bush on trial. Houston, Texas. John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I just want to say that I completely agree with you, what you said before, but the reason KSM is being tried in a civilian court in New York is because technically he's not a war criminal. The declaration of war was never given by Congress, so...
Hold it. You're wrong, and you're right. Of course, there's been no declaration of war, but even Eric Holder... Listen to what he says in clip 15.
I know that we are at war with a vicious enemy who targets our soldiers on the battlefield in Afghanistan and our civilians on the streets here at home. I have personally witnessed that somber fact in the faces of the families who have lost loved ones abroad, and I have seen it in the daily intelligence stream that I review each day. Those who suggest otherwise are simply wrong.
Okay, listen to 16 now from Eric Holder.
Prosecuting the 9/11 defendants in federal court does not represent some larger judgment about whether or not we are at war. We are at war. and we will use every...
Okay, so we are at war. Moreover, not only are we at war by his own admission, but there are other terrorists from Guantanamo who are going to be tried by military tribunal, Nashiri and Mohammed. Now, why would they take two of them and bring them to New York while allowing to leave the other three for a military tribunal? The answer is strict politics, because Holder has committed an act of criminal act, in my opinion, and frankly, the government should try Holder for this act. There's no reason that Congress can't hold a hearing on Holder's motivations and Obama's motivations. These are just humans. They're just humans. They're not gods. Holder said we're at war. He said we are at war. So why is he now violating a Supreme Court precedent that you try war criminals in a military tribunal? One reason only: to attack the political opposition. No other reason. Period. End of story. That's it. What else do you want to talk about? Houston, Texas, Mario, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I want to comment on that trial.
Yeah.
I really think that the reason why he's doing this way, he could show that he's above the law, because those people are not going to get a fair trial, and they're going to end up sending them back where they came from. They're not going to be able.
If we let the Prozacian lunatics from NYU, Columbia, and Harvard Law, the cockamamie, cockeyed people in the law profession who are going to defend these bastards, have their way, not only will they be found innocent, they will wind up suing the American people and winning a fortune after perpetrating the greatest war crime on our soil. That's what's liable to happen. I think that the lawyers who defend them should be thrown into a prison with them and be transported to Yemen. I think the lawyers who would defend them should be sent to Yemen. That's my opinion. New York City, WOR, Kitty, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how are they going to pick a jury for this crazy trial? What kind of a jury are they going
to... Well, I guess they could go to Major Hassan when he comes out of the opiate-induced slumber that he's in and ask him if any of his relatives would like to serve on the jury.
Oh, I love your show. Thank you, Mr. Savage.
Yeah, Major Hassan maybe himself could be asked to serve on the jury, because he's a jury of the peers. A jury of the peers would mean they have to find terrorists in America to serve on the jury. After all, you can't serve on the jury if you're an American. You can't be impartial, so they need a jury of their peers. I think they're going to have to actually go to Osama bin Laden and beg him to send some of his al-Qaeda agents to serve on the jury. Houston, Texas, AJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Big time, Mike. You know, ain't nobody going to say this, but I'm a black man, and I'm going to say it, Mike. And you know what? Since this guy been in office, they call me every name in the book because I don't go along with this man's policy. He's my own family, Mike. I'm trying to tell black folk, people, do you know that you're missing the boat? You got illegals in here got more than you have, and you've been in here all your life. You got an idiot up there haven't mentioned black folk since he got in the White House. I mean, since he's been there, he ain't said nothing. Well, the blacks need to do this. But these black folks, and Mike, let me straighten this out. Now we are separated, because now you got the good black folks that's working and believe in the American way and don't like this guy's policy. And then you got the other black folk against us, telling us, oh, well, you're Uncle Tom. You're Uncle Tom. What do you
Yeah,
say?
You must. No, no, I understand you, AJ. You must be in a very difficult corner. You're being attacked by your own people, because you don't go along, because you're not a useful idiot. It's very difficult, AJ. I got to tell you, I had to leave all of my friends 20 years ago to move ahead in life, because they weren't my friends. They actually were my worst enemy, because they wanted to keep me down. Sometimes you got to walk alone, AJ.
Mike, I lived through all that. Mike, black folks should be able to get to where they at. I tell my son, don't you blame no white man. Don't you blame nobody. You look in that mirror. You're everything we went through. Now only thing is in your hands. Go get it.
Yeah, you know, no, that's beautiful. AJ, look, you're right. I can't mention names, but let's just say I have a very close black associate who was raised by a single mother. And he told me his mother worked three jobs to raise him and his sisters and brothers. The father had left the home when he was a baby. She took them to church. She slapped them when they didn't do the right thing. And this guy went all the way through one of the top law schools in America. He did it because his mother raised him the right way. And she never let him whine and complain that he was oppressed and a minority. And he did very, very He did fine in this world because he understood that, you know, each man is an entity unto himself. But look what the liberals want minorities to believe, that everyone is a racist, the country is against them, and that they need Aunt Sam in order to take care of them.
Calling this man, don't they know this man don't mean them no good? Sharpton, Al Sharpton, he keep black folk down. Jesse Jackson.
Isn't it interesting that Al Sharpton was in the White House? Jesse Jackson secretly visited the White House. Reverend Wright secretly visited the White House. All of these characters have been in and out of the White House. Isn't it quite interesting to you, AJ, that although we elected Obama, we may as well have elected Al Sharpton?
Oh, man, and then they got a movie out called Precious, showing how blacks are in the 87s going down. This is a nightmare. I say, you can't put us down like that. And here you got illegals running around here. They got more than we have, and you've been here all your life. And how can an illegal come here and have car, truck, house? And here you here barely can pay your rent.
How? Because you pay taxes and they don't. Whatever they have extra, they send back to their friends south of the border. You got to ask yourself a question. If they're so oppressed, how do they have money to send home to Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua? If they're so oppressed, how come they can send money south? How's that possible?
I have to eat every day.
Just use common sense. The government is run of the government, by the government, for the government. The government of Goldman Sachs, AJ. God bless you. 1-800-449-8255. I think the one behind bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York is Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi has a specific animus towards the CIA that is incomprehensible. It's something that borders on the ludicrous and the insane. And she wants to put the CIA agents who had the balls to bring this guy to justice and put them on trial. And she's going to use some of the lowest legal scum that America has ever produced, some of the sickest people of our generation. I have seen the sickest minds of our generation, and they all have law degrees. That's my opinion. The sickest minds of our generation are lawyers, liberals, and First Amendment attorneys, in my opinion, and they are rabidly, rabidly anti-American. They're the most rabidly anti-American people I've ever met in my life. And to a man, and I've met a few of them, they're on drugs because they know they're crazy, and they think that the rest of the world doesn't see it. We could see it when we talk to them. In the old days, it was a giveaway. In the old days, when they took a certain substance, there was white spittle that was a giveaway on the corners of their mouth. Somebody who worked for Madeleine Albright, probably the craziest woman in the history of the American government. Madeleine Albright, one of the ugliest women in history, wrote a book recently about her years for Bill Clinton that she called Pins, about her legs. And she did a book tour where she talked about her great legs. She actually thought she was good-looking and people liked her looks. And she had a guy working for her named Jamie Rubin. I'll never forget this guy as long as I live. When they were criminally bombing the Serbian people, for over 80 days they dropped bombs on men, women, and children. They destroyed schools and hospitals. Jamie Rubin would get up on television, and he would gloat over the bombs falling, and you would see the spittle on the sides of his mouth. Jamie Rubin was married to Mata Hari, that is the CNN anchor for Muslim things, Christiane Amanpour, and he was thrilled to see American bombs falling on the Serbian Christians. Now, what I'm telling you is that this type, this mentality, is behind bringing this war criminal to New York. The Supreme Court has upheld that war criminals of this nature can be tried by a military tribunal. It's called QUIRN. Look it up. You will see there's a precedent. Eric Holder should be challenged, and he should be overridden on bringing this animal to New York City. I'll be right back.
Savage.
New poll just came out that's saying only 43% would vote for Obama now, 1 year after the election. The trust in Obama has been plunging because they see that he's what he is. And the shock is the number of independents who have moved away from him. And this is according to a Zogby poll, and Zogby is as left-wing as they come, in my opinion. And the poll was done of Americans, 2,800-some-odd Americans who had voted in the 08 presidential election. So it's a fairly good group. And the poll found that the support for Obama amongst those who voted for him dropped by 10% in the votes that Obama received on Election Day. In other words, there's great voter remorse. The American people were scammed. And only 37% of independent voters would vote to reelect Obama today. The problem was not just that they took this unknown and foisted them on the American people through many, many different means, but that the Republicans didn't want to win. How many times do I have to tell you that? They ran an old retread. The paint job, even Earl Scheib couldn't. I mean, the Earl Scheib paint job on the hack, McCain, was already wearing off. You know, the undercoat was showing. The muffler was falling off. The tires were bald. Even he was beating Obama. Even he was beating Obama. And every time he started to beat Obama, he shot himself in the foot. You got to understand it's a scam. The whole system is a setup scam. That's why the New Yorker magazine profiled me as a party of one, which is why I am banned in the media. Because a true independent is banned in the media. You got the fake independents like Lou Dobbs, who I affectionately called, what did I call? I gave him a nice name. No, I gave him a name for him. Duffy's Tavern is on the air. He failed in radio. So he's a nice enough guy, you know, but the fact of the matter is he's a copycat. Never had an original thought in his mind. He's a good copycat. But the reason he is acceptable to Fox News is because he's a party player. He's on one side or the other. He plays with the system. I don't play with the system. The system needs to be changed from the top to the bottom. That's why we are in trouble, because the establishment is rotten to the core. It doesn't mean the individuals are all evil. It doesn't mean the individuals are all bad. In other words, if you stop the individuals and talk to them, probably nice guys. But the game that they're playing is suicide for America. And it's only independents like you who can change the country's direction, perhaps saving the country from its inevitable decline and fall. Perhaps, I said, and the big word is perhaps. We know Obama was an invention of the establishment. We know they may as well have manufactured him in a factory and come up with the perfect candidate for the time. But as I said, even he was almost beaten by the Scheib job. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, when I say Earl Scheib, it was a cheap paint outfit when I was a kid, young guy. And if you had an old car, you brought it in there for $39, they'd paint your car. And it was a joke because they'd paint your windshield, your bumpers. You know, they didn't do a very good masking job. And then you went around with the lacquer thinner afterwards, and you took the extra paint off, you know, the window and off the headlight, and your 57 olds, you thought everyone thought you were a rich guy. It's amazing how things were when you're young and you don't really know anything, and your perceptions of the world are so unique when you're young. I ride my bicycle every day. So I go down to a mall to see people. I can't believe what insular people. I'm on a bicycle. I'm riding to a mall. If I didn't almost hit five stupid women walking with cell phones, they see you and they want to make believe that they're immersed in their BlackBerry or their phone and using it as a weapon against you, or they don't actually see you. It doesn't matter. These are the moronic liberal women who elected Obama. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. They're lost in their little, they have a handheld device. And all they know is what comes through the handheld device. And they know Obama's great and anyone who opposes him is a racist white cracker, even though they're white. They're whites. That's all they know. Ignoramuses. Stupid. The empty people. The empty skirts. Now, if you talk to them and you look at them, you look at them from the outside, they're reasonably attractive women, whatever. They dress well. These are the same women who feed their children Oreo cookies for breakfast. Or if they're really sophisticated, they take them to a cafe and they give them a pastry, a croissant, and a coffee or a cocoa, and they want to know why the kid needs Prozac. The mother hasn't the slightest idea as to her own health, nutrition, nothing. She knows nothing about her own health and nutrition. She relies upon experts to guide her with drugs. She's on 6 or 8 prescriptions, and the child is no different. So, you know, I look at things, I'm bewildered by it in a way, on how we've become a nation of drugged victims. And that explains why we have a leader who is so empty of substance. Now, if he was just empty of substance, it wouldn't be so bad. but the man is empty of substance and filled with radical leftist ideology, which brings decisions to us that we know are faulty. For example, bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York City. Let's bring it down to brass tacks. We are at war. Eric Holder admits that. We know he knows we're at war. If we are at war, which he admits, then he can be challenged in court, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed can be kept from being brought to New York. And the case is ex parte Quirin, Q-U-I-R-N. Those of you who are at NYU Law can look it up. That pondered whether the former socialist president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, could constitutionally order that a group of Nazi saboteurs who were captured on U.S. soil be tried by military commissions. And there was a unanimous Supreme Court decision that the Nazis who were caught could be. And it goes back to 1806, this law. And they tried the Nazi saboteurs. Six of them were tried and found guilty and hung. Two of them were found actually given a pass because they turned state's evidence against them. So why would Obama and Holder choose to violate a prior Supreme Court decision? Now you turn on the news and all you see are these radical left-wing defense attorneys saying, well, this is the American way. And all of the people on MSNBC, the hollow suits, they say, well, that's who we are. We give trial. That's who we are. The little parrots reading the talking points put out by Obama and Holder, the talking points. That's who we are. Well, no, that's not who we are. Who we are is a nation that has rules and laws and precedents. And the rules and laws and precedents say that war criminals can be tried by a military tribunal. That's who we are as a nation. Not what the drug addicts on MSNBC tell you we are. And that's my opinion. And that's the savage take. Whether you like it or not, it's one man's opinion.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I know that we are at war with a vicious enemy who targets our soldiers on the battlefield in Afghanistan and our civilians on the streets here at home. I have personally witnessed that somber fact in the faces of the families who have lost loved ones abroad, and I have seen it in the daily intelligence stream that I review each day. Those who suggest otherwise are simply wrong.
All right, so he's violating a Supreme Court. That's Eric Holder, the attorney general appointed by Obama, who released six Puerto Rican terrorists, as you well know, and Mark Rich. And now this man slaps us in the face and says he's going to bring Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of one of the greatest acts of mass murder in American history, to the United States, specifically New York, when in fact the Supreme Court precedent called Quirin specifically states that Congress has the right to try these vermin before a military tribunal. And the case, you can look it up yourself, Q-U-I-R-N, Quirin, or Quirin, if you wish. Ex parte Quirin, U.S. 1, 317, U.S. 1, 1942. It upheld the jurisdiction of a United States military tribunal over the trial of several German saboteurs in the United States. It is a precedent for the trial by military commission of any unlawful combatant against the United States. And for Obama and Holder and their minions, the radical leftists from NYU, Columbia, and Harvard, to state otherwise is not only a slap in the face, but it is illegal. I believe that the Republicans have an obligation to the American people to challenge the Attorney General using the Quirin decision and demanding that he be tried in a military tribunal. Otherwise, we're not only going to have a circus, we're going to be seeing the government itself of the Republican government that is put on trial and the CIA put on trial. Now, having said that, I want to backtrack. Many of you don't know my background. Many of you don't know anything about my background. I understand very well the liberal mind. I was never truly a liberal. I was always an independent-minded person and always marched to my own beat. But I certainly traveled in liberal circles for a long enough period of time to pick up the quasi, we are all, you know, we are one, we are all one together, nonsense and rubbish of the 60s. I heard it all. I know all about the pseudo-Buddhistic mentality that permeates the radical left in this country, where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is not really a criminal. He's just doing his job. Some would even say the opposite, that he was actually a hero and brave, and he's entitled to human rights. And I've heard all of this rubbish. This stems from a delusion, by the way. And the fact is that I have read I and Thou. I've written papers on I and Thou when I was young, and I understand what I and Thou means. And I don't believe, and I'm going now on to the literary, intellectual side for a minute, if you don't mind, because I'm not Sean Hannity. The fact of the matter is, I know how the liberal thinks. The liberal thinks that I, thou has really eliminated all barriers between the murderer and the saint, the prostitute and the son, mother and child, cheater and cheated, Semite and anti, chaser and chaste, vulgar and subtle, even the concept of opposites. They believe that we are all reflections of one another. We are all reflections of one another. So therefore, if we're all reflections of one another, thinks the drug-addicted lawyer, why then he's not really guilty. He's a human being. And if we have to face our enemy, he's not really our enemy. He is us. We drove him to it. We're all one world community. We are all one. Didn't the Beatles tell us we are all one? Isn't that the message of all religions? Aren't we all one? Isn't he simply following his own star to defend his religion of Islam against the perpetrators of such violence against Muslims over so many years and so forth? Believe me, I know their thinking, because I was once a child myself. But I outgrew my childishness. They didn't. Now they're running the country. And this trial, my friends, is extremely dangerous. What I just read to you, incidentally, is very important. What I read to you is something unique to radio, where I said that the liberal says that all barriers between mankind have been eliminated, between the murderer and the saint, the prostitute and the son, mother and child, cheater and cheated, Semite and anti, chaser and chaste, vulgar and subtle, even the concept of opposites. Now, where did I get those words from? Who did I steal them from? I stole them from myself in my own journal from 1982. I have a real treat for you coming up over the next few weeks. I had salted away all my journals from when I was living almost a monastic intellectual life, writing in journals before I went into radio many, many years ago. They were away in a storage bin. This is So Lin Yutang. My assistant just went to this bin and pulled them out, and all these journals just fell in my hands minutes ago. I have one of them. It smells of the same mothballs that were around my plant specimens that I got a few weeks ago out of the same bin. And I want to read you something from the beginning of my journal, which I call The Great American Journal. It begins January 13th, 1981, in a North Beach bar. But the title of the journal was The Great American Journal. And I quote Emerson, where I say, "Novels will give way by and by to diaries or autobiographies, captivating books, if only a man knew how to choose among his experiences that which is really his experience, and how to record truth truly," Emerson. And then I wrote next to it in my own words, right at the beginning of the book, in the preface, "Facades create illusions. All entrances are facades. All exits, illusions, July 2nd, 1982. I realize this is a little, you know, too literary kind of stuff for a radio talk show in AM where you're used to, you know, high school dropouts who pretend to be Republican geniuses. But the fact is that's who I am, and you're going to listen to it because I'm telling you it relates to what we're talking about. How else do you explain Obama and Holder twisting reality to such an extent that they have sympathy for the devil? That's because they're products of this quasi-hippie, new-agey thinking, if you want to call it that, and they never outgrew it. They've been living in this insular world of left-wingism where they start to think it's the truth. And our enemies are taking advantage of this because they know it's not. The enemy certainly doesn't think that way. The enemy, the Muslim fanatic, doesn't think you are he and he is you and we should all live together in harmony. No, he wants to kill you or convert you. That's what the war in Afghanistan is really about, I suppose. That's what the bombings in India were about. They didn't want to live amongst their Hindu brethren. That's what the bombings in the London subways were about. They wanted to kill the infidels in London, the country that let them in, and convert them to Sharia law. That's what the bombings in Spain were about. They wanted to retake Andalusia, you stupid idiots, you! So now we have these wobblies in office. Left-wingers, soft-minded, no depth, way out of their league. They're playing in the big leagues, and they're playing like cafe communists. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I am he as you are, he as you are, me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun.
See, this may as well be the theme song of Eric Holder and Barack Insane Obama. See, I am one and you are him and we are all together, blah, blah, blah. It's kid stuff. This is how the liberals from the university still think. It doesn't mean that they're 60 with gray hair. It doesn't matter. Their minds have not evolved. So when they face Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, they don't actually see a terrorist. They have compassion for him. Why? Play the song again from the top. Listen. All right, so in other words, they believe the entertainment of the 60s, the Yellow Submarine. And so now you see the yackers from NYU, Columbia, and all the defense attorneys going on television today saying, yeah, well, that's who we are. And we believe in trials. That's who we are. Yak, yak, yak. That's what we are. Quack, 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 quack. That's who we are. Quack, 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 quack. Well, that's who we are. We're about trials. Quack, 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 quack. Well, what we are is a nation of laws, and these people running the country or nation, it's a nation of outlaws because they're not even following the law. They're like outlaws who took over the country. Ex parte Quirin says that these people, enemy combatants, can be tried before a military tribunal. And it is amazing to me how they get away with this rubbish. John in San Diego, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I was hearing some of your comments about FDR. FDR was single-handedly one of the greatest presidents of this nation because he pulled us out of the Depression. We needed a form of socialism to put people back.
All right, let's pause for a minute. We can argue over his economic policies at another time, but you're saying he was a great president. Is that what you're saying?
Indeed he was. He brought.
Well, hold on a minute. But we're talking about trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed before a civilian court as opposed to a military court.
I think that
that's what we're
civilian court because this is not.
Wait a minute. But you just said that you believe in FDR, that he was a great president. Didn't you just say that?
Absolutely. One of the best.
But it was FDR who wanted the Nazi saboteurs tried before a military tribunal, not in a civilian court. So how does that fit with your worship of the socialist president?
What's happening now is we don't have a situation like World War II where these terrorist nations, there are not a complete threat to our way of life as Nazi Germany was. Nazi Germany was.
Whoa, wait. Eric Holder just said we are at war. He just said that. He admitted we're at war.
This is a war similar to Vietnam to the extent of this is an
So you disagree now with Eric Holder. You say he's wrong when he says we are at war.
I think that what Eric Holder is trying to point out is basically that we are in a technical state of war, but yet this is not, you know, that basically this is not a World War II type of war.
Wait a minute. Now you're changing the discussion. You said you love FDR, and I'm telling you it was FDR who tried Nazi saboteurs before a military tribunal, and there's a Supreme Court precedent called Ex parte Quirin. And then you say, we're not really at war. And I say to you, Eric Holder, another one of your great intellectual heroes, says we are at war. So now you're changing it again.
I didn't say he was a hero.
But the fact of the matter is, you're wrong on every account so far, John, because not only are you wrong on every argument, but you're wrong technically and you're wrong politically, because three of the terrorists, at least three of them, Nashiri, who is the al-Qaeda mastermind of the attack on the USS Cole, is not being given a civilian trial. He's been given a military trial. Why is that so?
The peculiarities of the government, that they decide what to do and how to do it. You don't
wait a minute. It shouldn't the decision that we are going to try some of them or one of them or two of them in New York, but not all of them. Shouldn't that give you pause, John?
Well, let's put it this way. They're all going to end up in Florence, Colorado at the Supermax prison, no matter how you slice it. So it doesn't really matter if one is tried in New York or two are tried. They're going to
In other words, even though your arguments are inconsistent and unsupportable, you're still sticking to your arguments.
Well, I'm sticking
to look, you look, John, you tried, but you lost on every account. Thanks for listening so carefully. New York City, WOR, Patricia, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I see this trial, potentially the one that will take place in New York, actually more as a power trial, because the issue, particularly with the CIA, I think that Bush and Cheney are non-existent in this. They're going after the CIA.
Yes, this is Nancy Pelosi's vicious psychosis at work. She wants to put the interrogators on trial, not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. This is unsupportable, but I think that she can be hung by her own petard. I think she can be put on trial.
That's what I was about to say, because
in other words, if the people defending the CIA agents who will be dragged into court by the left-wing fanatics like Holder can defend the CIA agents by demanding that any discovery include correspondence between Nancy Pelosi and Eric Holder on this issue, and
Nancy Pelosi and her Congress were in power in the last 2 years of the Bush administration, and they condoned waterboarding. The minute this president took office, they made waterboarding torture. Subsequent to that, Nancy Pelosi claimed on I'm exaggerating, some 17 occasions, let's say, that she was never briefed on waterboarding. So what's going to happen? What could potentially happen is if I'm a CIA agent in that position, okay, where my interrogation techniques are being questioned as possibly unlawful to protect my nation, who am I going to say? I'm going to say to my lawyer, I want you to subpoena Nancy Pelosi, because her.
Look, this is something that people who grew up in the 60s would think is fair, to take an enemy like this and not draw a distinction between them and themselves shows you the insanity of the people running this country right now. And Eric Holder has to be challenged in court. The Republicans have an obligation to the American people to bring this to court and challenge Eric Holder. He's only an attorney general. He's only an attorney general. He's a man. He has a bias. It's a radical left-wing bias. And he's entitled to that. He's certainly entitled to that. But there is legal precedent to show that he's wrong, and I believe that we have an obligation to have this heard before the American people and before the Supreme Court, before Khalid Sheikh Mohammed does any further damage to the American people. Now I'm going to go back to the journal, because it's related. I can't believe how I'm tying all the ends together in my life. Tuesday evening, May 12th, 1982. Begin each day by telling yourself, today I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness. All of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil. That's to be one of my journal entries. This was written in Sausalito. I write, a good dawn is silent and clear. Silent and clear dawn presages a busy morning. Then I write in my journal, 1982, begin each day by telling yourself, today I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness. All of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil. What's wrong with that? It's actually a good rule to live by. It's my own little prayer book. Then I write, when you are outraged by somebody's impudence, ask yourself at once, can the world exist without impudent people? It cannot. So do not ask for impossibilities. That man is simply one of the impudent whose existence is necessary to the world. You have only to remind yourself that the type is indispensable, and at once you will feel kindlier towards the individual. Besides, what harm have you suffered? Nothing has been done by any of these victims of your irritations that could hurtfully affect your own mind. And it is in the mind alone that anything evil or damaging to the self can have reality.
Savage.
Anyway, you want me to read the Quirin case to you? I mean, I can read it to you. It's cold and it's dry, and the Nazis were tried. They landed in a submarine. and they were caught. Two of them turned states as an evidence. Long Island group of Nazis was noticed by Coast Guard beach patrolman John C. Cullen. And then the saboteurs attempted to bribe him with $260. The cop returns to a station, sounds the alarm. And then the Nazis get rid of their uniforms and they proceed in civilian clothing to New York City and Jacksonville, Florida. And from there out to the United States. All had received instructions in Germany from an officer of the German High Command to destroy war industries and war facilities in the United States. Now, two of the guys who landed, two of the Nazis, Dosh and Berger, turned themselves into the FBI. The FBI doesn't believe them. Then they had to convince the FBI that they were telling the truth. You hear this? And things have really changed. The remaining six Nazi saboteurs were taken into custody in New York and Chicago by FBI agents. The FBI had no leads until Dash gave his exaggerated, romanticized versions of what happened. So FDR, the socialist president, convenes a secret military tribunal. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, Obama's godfather, FDR, convenes a military tribunal on July 2, 1942, which sentences the eight men to death. The president later commutes the death sentences of Dash and Berger to life in prison because they had both confessed and assisted in capturing the others. So, there is no argument. There is no argument to support Eric Holder and Obama bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York City. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. There's no legal. There is no moral. There's no intellectual. There's no sane precedent for this. This is the mark of crazy people who want to hurt the CIA and George Bush and Dick Cheney. It has nothing to do with the American way. It has nothing to do with fairness. It's all rubbish. This is political suicide. It's political viciousness. This is not justice. This is injustice. This is why he wants to bring them to New York City. He wants to have a show trial of the CIA. This is Nancy Pelosi. It has her nail polish all over this. Terry on WOR in New York. Go ahead, please.
Hey, you listen to me, Savage. I consider you a true patriot. As a matter of fact, you are the only one that's on the airways that says it like it is. The rest of this is rubbish. You're absolutely right. I can't put on the TV, any network, without listening to a diatribe that makes me want to puke. Now, I'm stuck in traffic here in New York, and I'm wondering why that is. And all I got to do is look around. The cars, they're everywhere, all full of morons. They sit and they buy this crap, and they put these people in power, manipulated by ABC, FEC, CBS, and the talk shows, and they can't even look beyond their own nose. Well, I want to tell you, I don't know how much time you got left to broadcast, because by the time the FCC and Obama administration gets done, they'll probably have you ripped off the air, too. And we'll all sit back and say, oh, well, that's only right, because he was so unfair. And meanwhile, all our liberties are disappearing, one right after another, drip by drip by drip. Pretty soon, I'm not even going to be able to call you. And my call will be monitored. And then maybe I'll be investigated. I am sick to death of what's going on in this country. And I want to tell you, we need more like you. We need what you're saying as part of the congressional record. You should be in Congress. You should wake up some of these people. Because I want to tell you something. It's going to be too late. It'll be irreversible. We sent a nation into poverty trying to eliminate it. On the Great Society. Now we're going to cripple ourselves trying to give everybody health care when we can't do it. All we can do is ration it. We're going to destroy the best health care system
in the world. No, you're right. Everything you say is right. There's not one word you said I disagree with, Terry. I don't know your background, but I can guarantee you and I see eye to eye on everything.
I want to tell you, when it comes to the last man, and I hope I'm right there with the Second Amendment right by my side right next to you, because that's what's going to happen. And I can see it happening.
When they come for the gun.
I'm sorry. I just had to get it off my chest. I'm sick.
Terry, that's what talk radio is about, which is why Obama wants it eliminated, why the fascist FCC diversity chief wants it eliminated. They don't want you talking to me and being heard by thousands of people who are learning from you. They want to control everything that is heard by the population so they can herd the population like the sheeple that they are. Terry, I'm going to send you a free copy of Banned in Britain. You deserve it. You deserve the honor of my book. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a free book. Again, I'm going to dip back now from the political. to the personal. I'm going to read you something. Just bear with me, okay? It's the kind of mood I'm in. Again, from an old journal I just found from 1982. I'm writing July 8th, 1982. I write about the man who invented the stethoscope, Laennec. He invented the stethoscope, and listen to this. His work received cool reception from the medical establishment, which questioned the value of a diagnostic study of diseases for which there were no known cures. The cylinder was the object of endless jokes, but it was, of course, eventually widely adopted in medical practice. Laennec himself fell victim to phthisis, the disease which he had specifically studied. I found it in the UCSF Medical Library in 1982. Now, what is the point of my reading that to you? He was laughed at. They made a joke about him. They made endless jokes about his discovery. It's the same, basically, with me. The very people who parade themselves as independents, as conservatives, try to make a mockery of me. But I'm like in I'm in the tradition of the man who discovered the stethoscope in my own mind. I've never really been any different. You know, I look back at my journals. Politically, I've changed somewhat. Politically, I've changed a lot in some ways. But emotionally and mentally, I'm the same person. I'm still the outsider. I'm the eternal outsider. I'm the eternal independent. What does it have to do with you listening to this show? Because a good portion of America that still thinks is exactly like me. They think for themselves and they come to their own conclusion. On various issues, we may agree. On various issues, we may disagree. But ladies and gentlemen, I have presented the case today that Attorney General Holder and Barack Hussein Obama are not bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York because they want him to get a fair trial. The opposite is true. They want to put the CIA on trial. They are violating not only common sense, they're not only violating every rule of sanity in such a war as we are engaged, but in fact they're violating the law itself because there's a Supreme Court decision that I've mentioned which shows that there's a precedent for trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a military tribunal, which should have been done years ago, and he should have been hung by now or shot. And that's why I did this today. The country cannot be fooled any longer by these charlatans. And I demand that the Republican administration, whatever's left of it, the shambles of Republicans, and there are some good ones. I mean, Congressman Culberson was on the show yesterday. His letter's on michaelsavage.com. He's appealed to Hillary Clinton to intervene on my behalf to get my name off this list in England so I can go to England and study my scientific specimens before I die. And he may prevail for political reasons. I'm sure there's going to be at least a dozen congressmen signing on with him, maybe more. Maybe we'll get 90 congressmen and senators signing on. Maybe this case will become as big as Ramos and Campion, the border agents arrested by George Bush for doing their job a little too well. You know, maybe it'll reach that level. And I will prevail. I will prevail. And you will see that those who supported me were on the right side of things, and those who ignored me, like the wall banger and the others, will be seen for who they are, the 12-carat phonies that they really are. And, you know, I'll never forget this. As long as I live, I will never forget the phonies in the media who wrapped. The liberals are my intellectual opposites. I understand that. They're not all bad people, just as I'm not a bad person, but I have my political viewpoints. Once we meet each other, we actually don't hate each other. I mean, my dentist could be a liberal. My doctor could be a liberal. When I get in front of them, they know what I am politically. They don't try to hurt me. They use their skills to treat me fairly. Because they see my humanity as I do in them. And politically, we're different. But I'll tell you who I really despise and have a contempt for is the fakers on the right who wrap themselves in the flag. Those are the ones that I hold a special contempt for. And I'm not the type to seek vengeance. I learned a long time ago that vengeance is God's to seek. I did. I learned that a long time ago in my life. Because if I were to look back at all of the outrageous things that I've had to put up with, as we all have. And believe me, it's nothing compared to the invasion of Kwajalein. Okay, I wasn't let off a boat that has a 4-foot draft and 3 feet of water and have to wade through 700 yards of open water to enemy machine gun fire. By the way, that's a little side note. If you're watching the History Channel, what was the Navy commander? Who was the Navy commander who didn't know that his boats, his landing ships, the Hinckleys and the others, drew 4 feet of water and let the guys go in 3 feet of water? And they get stuck on surrounding reefs, And the guys are then dumped out of the landing craft. They're told to wade ashore 700 yards in water, holding their rifles over their head while the Japanese are picking them off like ducks in a barrel. Who was the Navy commander? The guy should have been hung for this. That's the basic of a boat. If you own a Hobie craft, you know about draft. But apparently the Navy commander didn't know about tide, okay? So if you think war is a science, you're wrong. A lot of it is filled with error, trial, mistakes. God only knows how we won the war. We almost lost World War II. We almost lost World War II, but by God's will, we won it. One little thing after another enabled our predecessors to win that war. And make no mistake about it now. We are engaged in a war for our survival. I am enough of a student of history to tell you that we have been hijacked by a group of radical left-wingers. If they were as intelligent as they think they are, they wouldn't be making the mistakes that they're making, and they're making one after the other. The American people are awakening to Obama's emptiness. They're awakening to the radicals who surround him, and they don't like it, and they're abandoning him in droves. His ratings are in the toilet. And I can prove it to you in one sentence. His desire to ramrod this cap-and-trade crap down our throats next month is coming to an end. Even Harry Reid has said they're not going to do it till next spring. Even Barbara the Bagel Boxer, one of the biggest phonies in the history of the Senate, has said, well, before we know it, it'll be March. Even she has admitted that they can't push any more down our throats. The Democrats know that the independents are abandoning them in droves. They know that Obama's extremely vulnerable and that the rest of them are as vulnerable. They know what happened 2 weeks ago. They remember it. I don't care what spin they put on it. They lost, if you remember, in New Jersey. They lost in Virginia. They know they lost, and they know they're in trouble. The American people understand who this gang is, and they don't like it. And what I'm saying to you is that we have to fight them. We have to fight them on the radio. We have to fight them when we call in shows. We have to fight them in the newspapers. We have to fight them at the PTA meetings. You have to fight them in the living room. You have to fight them on subway lines. You have to fight them in supermarkets. I told you how to do it. You can do it nicely. All you have to do is once a day, somewhere in public, say with a smile, you know, I voted for that Obama, but boy, am I sorry. That's all you have to say. These little pebbles will have ripples beyond your imagination. Think of the power of 10 million people a day saying, you know, I voted for Obama. I thought he was a guy, a nice guy, but he turns out to be just like the rest of them. That's all you have to say. Those 10 million pebbles will have ripples beyond your wildest imagination. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Between the politics of the day and dipping into a journal from 1981, and I got to tell you something. I'm going to do more of it. I hope you don't mind it, because this is what's going to go on in my show now. Something years ago, I wrote a book called Nutrition Against Aging. It was published in 1983, I think, way ahead of its time. So listen to this. This is what I find in 1982 while I'm thinking about it. It says, I'm in the library today studying Nutrition Against Aging, and I'm saying it's going to be a book. A popular technical work, The Mechanics of Preventing or Reversing Some Major Diseases of Middle and Older Ages. But it must also reflect the spiritual, poetic superstructure of the human being. I must avoid using the ever-popular mechanistic visions of man as a biological machine or bag of fluids which needs mere adjustments like a laboratory animal. So already I was, you know, into the spiritual side. Here's one, another one. The image of an old grove of olive trees I saw many years back in Mallorca. Can a young olive tree produce its fruit? The oldest, most gnarled and twisted trees, do they produce the prizest olives? Can I liken this to humans? We must begin to reevaluate the fruits of man. Sweetness, too, is a product, not mere labor. But after early childhood, this precious essence is known rarely except again with age. Not bad. It's very, very different to look back on your, you know, in 1982, I don't know what year we're in already compared to 82, 90. I have to keep it doing the 82, 92, 02, 27 years ago. It's hard to believe. I've I'm like a cat with nine lives. I mean, the things I've been through in many ways. I'm not sitting, you know, like I've been to hurricanes and tornadoes. But in my own way, I've been through a lot of hurdles that I've overcome. And the miracle of my being on the radio, I'm telling you, is God's will. And I have to tell you this over and over again. The trials and tribulations of Michael Savage are very important for me to express to you. Because many a time I've wanted to walk away from it. I may have walked away from it this year had this ban in Britain not happened. I stayed to fight them, and I'm still fighting them, and I'm going to win. Things have happened that I can't even begin to tell you that are soon going to be announced worldwide that are going to blow this case wide open. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. I can't tell you anymore. I have to keep it to myself. Congressman Culberson didn't know any of this when he came to my aid and defense on this show yesterday and decided to publish that letter. That the major outlets won't cover the letter and that the major AP won't touch it doesn't bother me at all. I would expect nothing less from these people. They are who they are. And the rest I'll just leave hanging. But what I'm saying is something's about to happen from the other side of the pond in the next 3 weeks that's going to make your hair stand up. You're not going to believe it. But when you hear it, you'll know that you are right for supporting me. And what's interesting is even the liberals who don't agree with my politics know that I'm right and that I don't belong in a list with murderers and terrorists. They're going to be vindicated for their beliefs. Everyone will be vindicated except those 12-carat frauds on Fox News who refuse to cover the case of their life. They'll regret it. Now, they won't regret it professionally. They'll continue to have audiences that will go to them, and that's fine. It doesn't mean anything to me. But internally, they will know that they're nothing. Internally, every man knows who he is. In those quiet, dark moments, everybody knows who they are. I don't care who the villain is, they know who they are. And they will know that they've been villainous in this case. That's all. That's how I see it. So now you want me to just do the pragmatic? I'll do the pragmatic. You know, you want me to interweave some philosophy or poetry or writing? I can do that. What do you think? Chesery, New York? WOR, go ahead, please. What do you think? Chesere, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. All right, that's still a hang-up job. I love it. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. June, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much. John Culberson is our representative. And
yes.
He has been absolutely wonderful in many, many cases. I'm so thrilled to hear he's taken on your case, and I'm hoping...
He is. He's a great man. He's the man who was the spearhead of getting Ramos and Campion out of jail, and he's going to be the spearhead of getting Michael Savage off a list of murderers and terrorists. That's all I can say. And God bless him for doing so, June, and I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in Britain, one of the few and rare copies left. This is going to be a document that everyone's going to want to own. Trust me. Trust me on this. 1-800-449-8255. I don't even know if I should read the journal anymore. It's hard to look back upon all of the, you know, the impediments. Here, June 27th, restaurant, Chinese restaurant. Fascism is not limited to politics. It is now a major organizing principle in medicine, particularly holistic medicine, which is an outgrowth of the platform espoused by the new left. Could you believe this? I mean, I wrote this. You think I don't know where these things come from? So here I was criticizing holistic medicine when I was a part of it, just as I'm criticizing the Republican Party and the fake conservatives, even though I'm a part of it, because I am a party of one. How do you like that? Things change, things remain the same. Boy, tonight should be a beautiful dream night. That's all I can say. I can't wait.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, there's a lot of stories. Obama contemplating the Great Wall of China. And as I said today, from the Great Wall to the Great Fall, the Chinese built the wall he was standing on. And they did so to defend their borders, language, and culture from invaders on their northern border. And so they built the Great Wall of China, which is a monument to their nationalism that has lasted for over 2,500 years. We have invaders on our southern border, and what will we have to show for ourselves in 2,500 years? Consider this. Instead of a Great Wall protecting us from the nomadic invaders of today, we have Janet Napolitano acting as a traffic cop, and she's directing the flow of invaders northwards and directing the flow of remittances southwards. It's astounding to me. That's a big story. Obama on the Great Wall, where we have the Great Fall. There's some news stories out there. Ex-Washington Times editor alleges religious bias. You're not going to believe this story. The former opinion editor of the Wash Times has filed a religious discrimination complaint against the newspaper. As you may know, the Washington Times, which I consider to be a good newspaper, by the way, was founded by the leader of the Unification Church, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, in 1982. The 42-year-old editor Miniter says he was fired in October. The Arlington, Virginia resident filed a complaint with the U.S. EEOC on Tuesday. A Washington Times spokesman didn't immediately return a call seeking comment. And now on to some of the other stories of the day here on the Savage Nation. There are quite a few, and they don't end. They just go on and on and on. I mean, you look at the stories, your hair stands up. You have Obama at the Great Wall. And he says that it gave him perspective on the fact that a lot of the things we worry about don't matter in the sweep of history. That's what Obama says. Okay, so he's getting a historical perspective now. Then Obama proceeds to make a lame joke about the fact that he was glad he didn't have to carry the camera he was being photographed with all the way to the top of the wall. Okay, that's innocuous. But I want to repeat that the Chinese who built the Great Wall of China that he was standing on did so for a reason. It was not built for a Kodak moment. It was not built for tourists to come there and take pictures. The Great Wall was built because they were trying to defend their borders, language, and culture. And they built that wall to keep out invaders on their northern border. And that monument, the Great Wall of China, is a monument to nationalism that has lasted for over 2,500 years. Here in America, we have invaders on our southern border. And what do we have to show for ourselves? Here in this country, we have a government that is preventing the people from defending their own border. Instead, they're waving the invaders in. It's the world upside down, from the Great Wall to the Great Fall. On MichaelSavage.com, you have to see that letter. If you haven't gone, would you go today? Congress presses Hillary on Savage's behalf. The letter is from Congressman John Culberson in Texas, urging Hillary Clinton to use her diplomatic tools to press the United Kingdom to remove Michael Savage from the list of banned individuals. It's astounding. Wait until you see this letter. Associated Press, government wastes $98 billion in taxpayer dollars in 2009. That's right. In all, about 5% of spending in federal programs in fiscal 2009 was improper, according to new details of a government financial report. How about trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York City? That's a hot topic. According to Terrence Jeffrey, it is crazy. It's indefensible. It is inexplicable. Something, he says, a strange ideology is driving the Obama administration to take a wrecking ball to the war on terror. I agree with him 100%. Fox News says Eric Holder making bad history with 9/11 trial. Absolutely. There's no question about it that Eric Holder is a man completely out of touch with reality. How about the mass murderer at Fort Hood? Hassan described as a ticking time bomb by classmates. People were trying to warn their superiors about him. And yet the superiors turned a deaf ear and a blind eye because he was a Muslim and they were afraid of being called politically insensitive. From Somalia, a ship to Maersk, Alabama, repels the second pirate attack with guns. Private guards on board the U.S. cargo ship repelled the attack of the pirates with gunfire. And they weren't taken over. What the hell has happened to the United States government that they won't use our Navy to do what it was created to do? Al-Qaeda's Civil Liberties Union. Did you hear this? I'll talk to you guys after I get to New York and see my lawyer, said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said when he was captured. Can you believe this? when he sees his lawyer, I would take the lawyer and throw him in the cell with him together. That's what I would do. Mutilated woman left to die in a London street. Democrats alarmed as independents bolt. Mounting evidence that independent voters have soured on the Democrats is prompting a debate among party officials about what rhetorical and substantive changes are needed. How about starting at the top and getting rid of Mao Tse Obama? Schwarzenegger rules out another run for office. Good. Thank God. TARP audit finds Timothy Geithner gave away the farm. No kidding. The government gave away the farm when AIG failed. Geithner should be in jail because he failed. Obama popularity below 50% for the first time as Americans worry about many, many things. West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd becomes the longest-serving lawmaker, 56 years in office. And in Afghanistan, where boys are dying and getting mutilated, an Afghani minister was accused of taking a $30 million bribe to award the country's largest development project to a Chinese mining firm. You hear what's going on over there? That's what you're sending your sons over there for. What a shame this all is. Well, that's it from MichaelSavage.com. Be sure to look at the book Banned in Britain and get your copy before the holiday rush.
Savage.
The myth of human-caused global warming will be discussed at the upcoming so-called conference in Copenhagen. Here with the truth on the issue of global warming is a real expert in the field, a genuine expert, Lord Monckton. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now tell the audience the real aim of the conference in Copenhagen.
The aim of the conference at Copenhagen is to try to persuade 192 nations who belong to a thing called the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change to sign a treaty which would create a new dictatorial, unelected world government with powers to impose a 2% tax on the gross domestic product of rich countries like the United States. That's broadly the equivalent of the half the US defense budget. It will also have the power to impose another 2% levy on every financial transaction. It will have the power to intervene directly over a Congress's head and over the president's head in the economy as well as the environment of the United States. It will have the power to confiscate all patent and intellectual property rights. It will have the power to control all free markets worldwide, so there'll be no such thing as a free market. It would, in effect, be an international communist dictatorship. I'm calling it that because that effectively is what these policies mean. All of these policies are in the draft treaty, and they have survived every round of the drafting so far. Not one Western country has so far spoken out on behalf of its people's freedom.
Do you think we're going to go down the same road as Europe on global warming?
Well, that, I think, is what is the aim of the Copenhagen Treaty. They've seen how easy it is to fool the nations of Europe, who once believed in freedom and democracy, into handing it over to a ghastly bureaucratic dictatorship. And as Václav Klaus, the president of the Czech Republic, was saying in Washington only the other day, the only difference between the EU and communism is that the EU isn't yet physically brutal. But in every other way, it is essentially a communist regime, and that is what is being proposed now worldwide at Copenhagen. And I think that Obama, having been given his Nobel Peace Prize for precisely this purpose, will go there to take the keening plaudits of the row upon row of bureaucratic zombies who'll be sitting there from all over the world. He'll want to take their applause, he'll want to do the grandstanding, and then he will sign anything. That's my view. He's not going to read the small print, and frankly, I don't think he particularly cares. His advisors were saying during the election campaign they hated the US Constitution, they thought it was out of date and an obstacle to the advance of world left-wing causes. And I see no reason to suppose that he himself does not share the views of his advisers on this. I think they would like to see the back of the U.S. Constitution, and all he has to do to ensure that is to sign the Treaty of Copenhagen.
How damaging to the U.S. could Copenhagen really be?
The danger is this. During the election campaign, President Obama's advisers were openly talking of the Constitution as an obstacle to international progress, by which they effectively meant communist progress. And they said they were going to circumvent it if and as necessary, in particular in the making of treaties. There is a kind of backdoor procedure called the executive agreement process by which the president could sign the treaty on his own authority and then simply enact it into the law of the United States by a simple majority of both houses, which would remove the Senate's two-thirds majority, which is normally required under your constitution, to ratify a treaty. And the danger then is that even if a subsequent administration wanted to cancel that, the fact that the president himself signed it might still be held by your Supreme Court, which is now itself very left-wing, to be binding on the United States anyway, so that a subsequent administration would not be able to undo the treaty. That's the danger in international treaties, particularly when you have an activist and really rather politically radical Supreme Court at the moment. The danger is the Supreme Court will go with the president in allowing this treaty to be ratified effectively by the back door. They said they were going to do that during the election campaign, so it wouldn't surprise me if they try this on.
Given Obama's czars and the power they seem to wield, do you think they'll have an effect on the checks and balances of Congress?
Well, the danger is that all those checks and balances are now being effectively torn up. Congress is being increasingly bypassed in a well-trodden route. I mean, it's been the same in various European legislatures for years, where left-wing regimes have always tended to have complete contempt for elected parliaments and congresses and to have governed instead round the back by putting in effectively little Hitlers, little dictators to run things. That's what these czars are. They're better off called as Hitlers because that's what they are. They just go in and do the will of their master and to hell with what the public thinks. And I think this is increasingly a very serious problem in the Western democracies, that the parliamentary institutions and congresses have not stood up to the increasing power of what's called the executive. That's the people who are elected actually to run the government day to day. They are now assuming more and more dictatorial powers, and congresses and parliaments, the people we elect, are in fact proving powerless to stop them, and often, frankly, lazy. I mean, in the United Kingdom, each new extension of the powers of the hideous European dictatorship has been allowed through with barely a murmur on the part of our elected representatives. Only a few gallant people have spoken out. And I think the same is going to prove to be the case in the United States. I have been doing my best to say to the Republican Party, for heaven's sake, all you have to do if they threaten to sign this treaty is to say this treaty will not bind us unless it's ratified by the Senate, and we will simply repeal it. And if you make a loud enough noise about it, same with the Waxman-Markey and Boxer-Kerry climate bills, all the Republicans have to do is to use the five magic words which would strike terror into all these little Hitlers in Obama's administration, and those are the words, we will repeal this bill. They very seldom say this, but I have heard from Congressman John Linder, to whom I was speaking about this the other day, that they are now going to start saying that. They're going to say, we will repeal this extremist left-wing legislation designed to address a climate problem which has never existed, doesn't exist, and never will exist. The human effect on the climate is now known by direct measurement to be minuscule. And so all of those fancy computer models, however much they may have agreed with one another, do not agree with observed reality. They are wrong. The science is in. The truth is out. The scare is over. There is no need for a Copenhagen or any other treaty to do with the climate, which is looking after itself just fine, as it always has.
There's international pressure to get something done in Copenhagen, but there's now some feeling that it was too much too fast. What do you think about that?
I think they have bitten off more than they can chew. I think they had hoped that by burying the draft of the treaty in an annex to a note by the Secretariat, which in turn was buried as a complicated area of the UN's website, they hoped that nobody would find it. Fortunately, a colleague of mine did find it, sent it to me and said, look how shocking this is. I immediately began circulating it. I made a speech, in fact, in Minnesota about it just a month ago. And that speech has now already received more than 3.5 million hits on YouTube. It's a record for any political speech. So concerned, in particular, are the citizens of the United States at the freedom-destroying, democracy-destroying, prosperity-destroying implications of this wicked treaty, which the world bureaucratic class had hoped to impose upon us by stealth after lying to us systematically for 25 years about the supposed threat of CO2 to the climate. CO2 is now known to be a harmless trace gas necessary to all plant and animal life on Earth. You breathe it out every time you speak, and there is no need to take any action whatever to restrict our emissions of CO2. So I think they were trying to go too fast because they thought they'd got everybody where they wanted them. The left-wing poorer countries were going to vote for it because they were going to make money out of it. The EU was going to vote for it because the dictatorship says we must. We no longer have any say as an individual nation in what line the EU takes on this. America was going to sign it because Obama sees this as part of a progress away from democracy and towards international dictatorial government of the kind which the communist left has always advocated. And so most major nations were going to end up signing this thing. But there has been such a reaction from ordinary people saying, A, we don't need this, and B, even if we did need it, to abandon our democracy for the sake of this alleged climate problem is the wrong way to go about it. So many are saying that I think they're beginning to take fright, these horrible little dictators worldwide who are trying to effectively conspire against the governed. It's a conspiracy of the governing class, if you like, worldwide, against the governed. And the little guy is now standing up and saying, this far and no further. And I think that's a very, very good thing, that at last the grassroots are standing up and being counted.
Lord Monckton, would you please stay there, and we'll come straight back to you after the break.
Yes, I'll be delighted. And while I'm on, our website is www.scienceandpublicpolicy.org. You can read more about climate change there.
I'll be right back. We're back in the Savage Nation with Lord Christopher Monckton, a real climate expert, and we're discussing the fraud of global warming with a true expert, not a fraudster like Al Gore. How do you think the treaty might end up in its final form?
The Australians have said that they're going to boil the whole thing down to 15 pages from the nearly 200 pages it is at the moment. But unfortunately, at the moment, we have an unholy alliance in almost all major countries of extreme left-wing governments. I'm afraid the same even in the States is now the case, who will sign anything if it does the West down. And unfortunately, what I fear will happen, unless more and more of the American people get in touch with their elected representatives and say this treaty shall not pass, there's a real danger that this long cooked up plan to create a world government, which will not, of course, be an elected government, is now about to happen. The words election, government, election, ballot, democracy, vote, words like that to do with making sure that we, the peoples of the world, decide who will run this world government, those words do not occur anywhere in the 180-odd pages of the treaty.
Danish Prime Minister Rasmussen said that Copenhagen should neither be a stopover nor a tiny stepping stone. What is he trying to do?
I think that what the aim originally was to achieve a substantive, binding, legal agreement to set up this world dictatorship at Copenhagen. That was clearly the intention of the original draft. Now I think enough people have made a noise that is not so likely to happen. I think we're now going to get a much shorter, much more focused treaty, where, in fact, of course, there is still a possibility that sanity will yet prevail and no treaty will be arrived at all, because there's no need for one. One should never forget this. This entire exercise is totally unnecessary. There is no scientific case, and even if there were, there's no economic case, because in order to forestall just one Fahrenheit degree of temperature increase, you'd have to shut down the entire carbon economy of the world, that means virtually the whole economy, for at least 25 years. You'd have to have no automobiles in that time, no trains, no planes, no factories, no electricity, no elevators to get you up and down your block where you live, nothing at all, not even the right to light a fire in your Stone Age cave, because that too emits CO2. You'd have to shut down the world economy for 25 years just to forestall one Fahrenheit degree of temperature increase. And that's why none of this makes any sense, either economically or scientifically. The whole thing is pointless.
Why do some believe the man-made global warming propaganda? Is it the international government media complex who stand to gain from this? A world government, world power?
Well, of course, people like Al Gore are making a frankly illegal fortune out of this. I think he's eventually going to be prosecuted and indicted and imprisoned for racketeering, because that's what it is. So many people are now telling extravagant lies. And remember, the way it works in the financial services industry, a lie in court is one where you either knowingly say something which is untrue, and I think in Gore's case we can prove in one or two instances that he is knowingly saying things he knows not to be true, but also if you pretend you know things to be true when you don't, that is also just as much perjury in court and just as much an offence against financial services legislation on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think that before long, the more extremist scientists, the more extremist politicians, the people like Al Gore, who have been making not millions but billions at our expense by peddling what is essentially a false, and I'm going to say it bluntly, a fraudulent prospectus by pretending that there is a climate problem when there isn't. I think in the end, heads are going to roll right across the governing class when prosecuting authorities eventually wake up and do their duty and lock these people up for lying to us so that they could then tax us and regulate us still more in the way that every good little socialist always wants to do. Well, I don't think that the American public is willing to abandon its freedom that easily. And I think there's going to be an increasing number of people getting in touch with the police and the prosecuting authorities and saying, hang on a moment, this isn't right. Why should they be allowed to profit by lying to us? And when the first prosecution happens, you just watch all those little politicians and bureaucrats and scientists running to cover, running for cover in case they get prosecuted too. It's only a matter of time. You heard it here first.
If nothing does happen in Copenhagen, if there's no agreement, where do you think we go from here?
I think gradually, if they don't get anything at Copenhagen, it's all over bar the shouting, because too many people now realize there has been no statistically significant global warming for nigh on 15 years. There's been global cooling, and quite rapid cooling at that, for 9 years. The CO2 concentration is rising at only half the rate that the UN predicts ultimately for this century. The sea ice in the Arctic, which went down a bit in 2007, is 24% up on where it was then. Sea ice in the Antarctic has been growing for 30 years. The glaciers in the Himalayas, according to an Indian government report just out, are doing just fine, thank you very much. All of these scare stories that have been so sedulously peddled by the environmental correspondents of the media are being shown to be essentially nonsense. And it is quite extraordinary that for so long they've got away with this without anybody really saying, hang on a moment, the emperor has no clothes. But people are saying it now. More and more news commentators are beginning to realize that the biggest story in this is not the gloom and doom story of catastrophe, for which there has never been any substantial warrant in the scientific literature, but instead the story of how a small number of malevolent scientists and politicians in each other's pockets politically and financially spun up this ridiculous story into the giant scare that it so briefly became. But now that scare is collapsing, faced with scientific and economic common sense and truth. And so it's all over by the shouting. If Copenhagen fails, and I hope it will, and I shall be there to try and make sure it does, then that's it. They won't get anything like a world government. They won't get a chance ever again at having a world government. This was their one chance, and they've blown it.
Changing topics, you're aware that I was put on a ban list from entering Britain by the Home Secretary at the time, Jackie Smith, and lumped in with terrorists and murderers. What are your views on this, and what do you think can be done about it?
Right. I, in fact, was interviewed for an hour the day before this happened. And a lot of people have said that it may be my interview that triggered the then immensely dim and over-promoted Home Secretary to ban, not because he's talking about terrorism, but because he's challenged this left-wing sacred cow, this shibboleth, this sort of god they've created of climate change. That's what they're really upset about, a whole hour to shooting down the climate rubbish, which they had hoped would be the Trojan horse to create this socialistic world government at Copenhagen. That's what they were really angry about. Now, I looked up the Home Office website today, and we're now, as we speak, around 6 months in from this ban coming into the UK, And this is what it says, Michael Savage, controversial daily radio host considered to be engaging in unacceptable behaviour by seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred, which might lead to inter-community violence. Now, that is plainly libel. It is not true, but it's being broadcast on the internet by the Home Office and has been ever since May the 5th this year. Now, the correct thing, we have a law of libel still in the UK. You don't really have one in the US. We do have one here. And what I think should happen is this. Should simply get some good London solicitors. They would then write a simple letter to the Home Secretary, whoever it is at the moment. I can't even remember. They're such an undistinguished crowd at the moment in the government. It's a collapsing government anyway. I should simply say, I require you to withdraw this allegation from your website because it is not true, or in the alternative, to say why you think it is true. That means they have to tell you why they have banned you, effectively. Now, if they don't tell you, then you simply lodge an action at the High Court for libel. That's the one to go for, because then they've got to substantiate the truth of what they're saying here. And I don't think they'll be able to do it. And so I think that the Home Office has gone way too far here. Admittedly, the Home Secretary at the time was one of the stupidest people ever to have held high office in the United Kingdom. She has now been sacked. But they haven't yet removed this nonsense from the website. And so I think that should not take this lying down. Should write to them saying, this is libel and I want it removed from your website. If they refuse, they must then explain. If they won't explain, should simply lodge an action for libel at the High Court. It's not particularly expensive to fight these legal cases over here. And would win for certain. The damages would be enormous, because if a government throws its entire weight behind attacking somebody simply because it disagrees with its political views, and that's what this is really all about. This is the left saying, we don't like anyone challenging our authority. That's what it's really about. It's a nasty political trick. Takes them to court and wins. The damages will be in the millions. We don't normally award large damages in the UK, but if a government moves against a private citizen in this way and throws its entire weight behind a private citizen and then cannot justify in court, in law, the truth of what it is saying in public about him, then that will be regarded by the court very, very seriously indeed, and in my view, rightly so.
Lord Monckton, thank you for joining us today.
And Michael, once again, it's always a pleasure to be on your program, and I hope that we'll have the chance of talking again, and I do hope that you will follow up this libel that appears about you on the website of the British Home Office. I think you would win that case, and in doing so, you would have not only struck a blow for your own freedom, but for freedom in this benighted country. No longer does anybody say in Britain, we are a free country. Because we're not, and we'd like to be again, and you could help us.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I want you to hear what Obama had to say when he visited the Great Wall of China.
It gives you a good perspective on the fact that a lot of the day-to-day things that we worry about don't amount to much compared to the sweep of history. I also think I was glad that I didn't have to carry the camera up here.
He doesn't have to carry the camera, but we have to carry the burden of his presidency. And then fresh from his Chinese overlords, he had this to say about the economy.
There may be some tax provisions that can encourage businesses to hire sooner rather than sitting on the sidelines. So we're taking a look at those. I think it is important, though, to recognize that if we keep on adding to the debt, even in the midst of this recovery, that at some point people could lose confidence in the U.S. economy in a way that could actually lead to a double-dip recession.
Well, what about Afghanistan, the war nobody understands?
I will announce my decision over the next several weeks. I'm confident that at the end of this process, I'm going to be able to present to the American people in very clear terms what exactly is at stake, what we intend to do, how we're going to succeed, how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take. I think that's what is owed the American people because, frankly, over the last several years, that's not what they've gotten. Part of, I think, the task here is making sure that Afghanistan is sufficiently stable so that we can make that handoff. So my goal is exactly what you described, creating a situation in which our footprint is smaller and Afghan security forces can do the job of keeping their country together. They're not there yet. They need help from us, and that's exactly what our strategy is going to be designed to do. This decision will put us on a path towards ending the war.
Some strategy. See, this is the thing about Americans. They all think they're immortal. No one ever thinks they're going to die. In Europe, like people who had like hard lives, they all know they're around because the graveyard's close by and they live with such, you know, tragedy all the time. They understand they lose limbs, children die, God forbid. They understand that it's a miracle that they get through a day, one day to the next. Here we think we're going to live forever. You see 60-year-old men, 70-year-old men, 80-year-old men, Viagra and hair transplants, they all think that they found Ponce de Leon's cure and they're going to live forever. It's unbelievable to me. Running. Is he running and looking at a watch at 70? Is it time he stopped running? What are you running for? Why run at a certain point? It's a horrible exercise, running. You're going to see, mark my word, it'll come to an end, the whole running thing. I remember when it started. I didn't say don't exercise. It's an absurd exercise. Everyone I ever knew who ran either broke a knee joint or a hip joint at a very early part of their life. They don't live long. You know, your body can't hold up with that kind of pounding. It's got to be moderate. I've told you, moderate exercise, moderate eating, everything in moderation except women. That's all. And the reason I learned that is because the reason I learned that, remember the guy who just died, one of the oldest men, he was like 106 from England, he fought in World War I, and he said the best men he knew died in World War I. This guy was great. So they go up to him and they say, like, Charles, what was your answer? What is your answer to longevity? He says, in my case, says yes. He said something like, whiskey and a lot of wild women. And he said, I mean wild women. He said that, whiskey and wild women. And cigarettes. Cigarettes, whiskey, and wild women. I particularly don't like cigarettes. I hate whiskey. And we'll let it go at that. 1-800-4- come on. Wildness is pretty good in a human being, men or women. It's good to have a libido. It's good to have a really strong sex drive. It's all that's left with Obama in the White House. I wonder if they can tax libido. They could get a libido meter going. And maybe Barney Frank can tax your libido. Anyone whose libido is above a certain... Wait a minute. I got it. Barney, I hope you're listening. You can tax testosterone levels. After all, you're against it in boys. So therefore, what I think you should do is consider this. Any male who shows testosterone above a certain level, A, should be put onto an electronic bracelet, number one, so that Rahm Emanuel can have it recorded into his master computer. And number two, anyone whose testosterone levels remain above a certain level will automatically be billed for the amount of testosterone because that's something to do with global warming. In the sense that if you have high testosterone, it means your metabolism is going to be higher and you're somehow using up more of the planet's oxygen. There you go. Tax testosterone. Maybe that's in the health bill. It's 1,900 pages. Let's start reading it. Who knows what they're going to add as a rider? Riders, are possible they could be taxing testosterone levels? Who knows? All right, you know I'm joking around. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not joking around. I was going to go to the antique show to have one down at the Fort. Antique shows are for fools. My father was in the business. Antique show. The prices are higher than in the antique store. I never saw such crooks in my life. Antique show. They sit in the booth waiting for a sucker to walk through. Antique show. All the good stuff is traded before they open the door. The day before the antique show starts, whatever's in there that's worth anything, Mo trades to Harry, and Abe trades to Mary, and Mary trades to Bill. Then the schmucks come in. But you go anyway, and reminds me of childhood antique show. That's the problem. I don't buy anything anymore. I enjoy shopping. I don't like to buy anything anywhere. I'm forcing myself to shop. I am forcing myself to spend my money before Obama steals it. I have a new theory in life. Spend it now before he robs it from me and gives it to illegal aliens and criminals. So I'm buying myself things I don't even want. Like, I am so frugal. Can I talk about frugality for a minute? I was raised poor and frugal. I was the kind of kid who lined up my shoes under the bed as a kid and shined them because I didn't want them to get... If someone scuffed the shoe, I got upset. Today, they'd make it a mental illness. They put you on drugs. Their child shines his shoes. They look too good. There's something wrong with them. I went to the mall this morning. I almost grabbed the kid. I didn't know what to do, but I knew we would have called the police. The high school gets out, they go to some taco joint for lunch. All vegetarian, of course. They don't want to. They want to eat green. The girls look healthier than the boys. They're all deficient in iron and B6 and carnitine. None of them have any energy. They're slumped over, and the guy's holding his pants. He's holding up his pants. He has a pair of dungarees on that are too big for his skinny behind. Probably doesn't have a father at home. Probably raised in Marin County. The pants are hanging down under his skinny butt with no belt. I wanted to go up and say, you know, you look like a goddamn moron. Don't you have a father at home? You're an idiot. Put your pants on, you schmuck. I think I should say that to the next kid. What can they do, arrest me for it? Say, don't you have any self-respect? Get a belt, you moron. What would happen if a million men went up to these schmucks and told them they look like idiots? Where did this develop from? I know where it came from. I covered this 3 years ago. Dungarees hanging down under the skinny white belt. That's going to pay my Social Security. That's going to fight for me when the time comes. That's going to defend America. They can blow America over with a breath. In China, they're training them to, like, eat chickens while they're alive and live on a handful of rice. This kid can't even hold his pants up.
Savage.